Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So just in case you think there's something wrong with your video feed, this is a new microphone. So what is that black thing right in front of the Coach? Remember I used to just not have one? Well, I got a new one. We're upgrading a little bit here in the studio, and so I don't want you to think that something's amiss. New microphone. Happy April 25th, 2019, as I say every day, Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made, this one right here. He ain't making another one like it. In fact, when you go back 1,000 years from now and you go back and you stick your finger, you'll be able to mark April 25th, 2019. So what are you going to do with that day? Lord's given us 24 hours. We sleep eight of them. That whittles it down to about 16. We got 16 hours today to do what the Lord called us to do, to run with patience, the race that is set before us with Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Finisher. That's a powerful, powerful word. You know that when Jesus hung on the cross, as he gave up the ghost, that's what he said. It is finished. You know, folks, there are very few finishers in the world today. A lot of starters, very few finishers. And Jesus himself said that no man, he said, count the cost. He says, no man, I wish if I could find that parable, no man begins a race or begins a project or starts building a tower and gets halfway through it and says, you know, man, this costing me more than I thought it was going to. And then quits. No man does that. You count the cost before you do it. And the Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And kept the faith, that's another whole term there. Kept the faith doesn't mean, well, keep the faith, brother. Stay encouraged, brother. No, no. A beekeeper, a protector. Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. What was your course, Paul? Protecting the faith. Protecting this thing we call Christianity, protecting it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Very few finishers. And I would pray that those of you who are in the queue today become more determined to finish what it is that we started, to finish what it is that you personally started, to be found, as the scripture says, to be a faithful man who's going to carry it out. He's going to finish it up. Going to do what it is that the Lord has called him to do. So that was just in my spirit today. Wanted to get that out of you. Not that you guys aren't finishers, but that's it, man. If you ain't still running when you hit the, if you're not still running when you hit the finish line, or how about this one? You ain't never going to hit the finish line if you don't keep moving. And we are, as according to the word, we are in perilous times. Know that's also that in the last day, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, high-minded, haughty, truce-breaker. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as I've said before, that's not a sign of the end times. That's the sign of the nature of man. And in the last days, we're going to see more and more and more of it. We're seeing more and more of it because those of us who carry the name of Christ, if we get into Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we'll find that Jesus said that we were the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And I had something, as I was coming down the steps today. Where did I put that, Lord? I was coming down the steps today, and the Lord said, grab that. And I grabbed it. And now it's gone. I buried it someplace in my Bible as I was scrolling through it here today. We're the salt. Where is it? Oh, doesn't matter. My perfect little demonstration is gone because I can't figure out what I did with Little Pop up here in a minute. I want to encourage you today. I don't want to discourage you. Good things are happening, as we saw yesterday. You know, talking about Rush Limbaugh and some of them speaking up and saying, "Hey, you know, let's indict her." There's great stuff going on. Great stuff's going on. We can't lose sight of it. We can't lose sight of our role, what we're supposed to do. Sorry, I'm distracted. I am trying to find that thing that I brought down here with me. I cannot believe that it's not here, but there it is. I give these out often when I get a chance to minister. This is a little salt packet. Got it at McDonald's. I paid for it. I didn't steal it. And this is a great illustration, folks, of what's happened to us here in American Christianity. We're salt packets. Churches are salt packets. Salt shakers. This little piece of thing here filled with salt is absolutely worthless. So you crack it open. And then when you crack it open, and you get that little bit of salt out of there, that stuff begins to fall out of there. Say, oh my goodness. Now it begins to change everything it comes in contact with. Now it changes the way things taste. It kills slugs, makes people thirsty, heals wounds. Miraculous things that salt does. But Jesus said that if salt loses his savor, it's henceforth good for nothing. Good for what? Nothing. It's just gravel laying on the ground. It's good for nothing. It's said to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. That's where we are. That's the battle we're facing in America and our unwillingness to stand up and fight. You know, as I was coming down the steps today, I the Holy Spirit prompted me again. We've been doing some heavy duty stuff here last few days. This is me. I went back and watched yesterday's show. Because I know me, and I know what I prepared to have on the show yesterday. That show was the most profound, Holy Ghost-inspired show I've ever done. Because it came out of nowhere with very little preparation. And I was kind of prompted again, as I said, by the Holy Spirit as I'm coming down here. I spent a lot of time last few days talking about me, what I did and what I do, and that isn't good. I understand it's my show, and I understand that I'm the star of the show, whatever the heck that would mean. But one of the things that makes our program so unique is the feedback from you guys. So I just want to start this morning, really. That's where I want to start. Some feedback. What's the Lord speaking to some of you? I'm going to open up the mic. I'm going to let some of you come in and say, you know, Lord, Coach, I've been wanting to get this off my chest. It's your chance to do it. Come on in, whoever that'd be.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I guess I want to talk about Orbiter, the movie, and how the 3D Christian movie that we can change. We can get Hollywood out. And, you know, we need to get Hollywood out of the picture. We can't trust them. You know, right. I can go through the quick litany: 1936, first lesbian kiss; 1965, naked breasts on movies; 1980s rape culture. It's just endless.
We know that, Vinny.
Endless.
Call the devil, right? We know that. Right. Yeah.
So go to orbitermovie.com and take a look at it. It's a 3D Christian movie. It's going to be awesome if we can get this in the theaters. And it may make the change. We can take Hollywood and just take them out.
You know, you sent that to me the other day, Vinny, and I didn't understand it. How are we going to take them out? Help me out here.
Well, it's because we can replace them. The whole thing is we want wholesome entertainment. People think Disney's wholesome entertainment, but they have nothing but Satanism and child trafficking stuff all in their advertising. If you go to the toy store with a camera, I can make everyone physically sick by showing you all the little child trafficking things hidden in all that stuff.
I get all that, Vinny. How does the Orbiter help us?
How does it help us? Well, we can replace. People still want entertainment. People still want to sit down and vegetate in front of a TV. At least you can do that with safe stuff.
It's a Christian form of entertainment. Is that what you're saying, Vinny?
That's correct.
Okay, cool. If you want any more evidence of that, or give that site again, Vinny, orbiter.com, is that what it is?
Or orbitermovie.com, and I'm going to type the URLs, roslerstudio.com as well.
Now, Vinny, you got to listen. There's some people who aren't watching. They're not in the chat. Orbitermovie.com?
That's correct. And Rosler Studio,
Now, you're confusing us now, Vinny. Just give us one.
Yeah, just one. Orbitermovie.com.
Okay, orbitermovie.com. Okay.
Absolutely.
Because we do have to begin to, Hollywood sets the tempo. We understand all that. And amen, Vinny. Amen. Somebody else.
Thank you, brother.
Coach.
Yes, Joe.
I would, this is kind of delicate.
Now you know how I feel sometimes.
Yeah. But the program, Coach Dave Live, is the number one thing here. And when I go, and it really affects when you go on your phone. But when you see that, okay, instead of that, okay, you see where it says there, join the show.
Right.
You see that second to Clinton. This is the show. Put her below the show.
Okay. Amen, Joe. I don't have that. You hear that, Mike? You hear that, Jared? Gotcha.
Thanks.
Join the show. Put that at the top. Boy, my email. Oh, some people are just now seeing my video. Oh my goodness. Some people just now. There's a real time warp. You know, folks. I just got two emails just popped onto my phone from people who just saw the video. It's hard to believe. Saw the video of me at Hillary's. Just now saw it. Go ahead. Yeah, Raj, come on in.
I went just last night to your site and read the comments concerning Lakewood.
Amazing.
Dave, I want to be upbeat this morning, but I was so troubled. The vileness. The intolerable of a differing view. And I'm 59, and it still shocked me. I was so sad after reading those comments, and I thought of you, and I also thought of Michelle, your lovely wife, the whole situation. Sometimes I know she teaches there, but I was just Dave when I read those comments, knowing you. And knowing your love for Christ and what you've done, the vileness that is out there as it relates to this whole homosexuality, transgender issue, it kind of disturbed me for a couple hours. How,
Roger, do you know this is the truth? The truth is most people, I really believe this, most people don't want a transgender teacher. Most of them don't, right? But they don't have the courage to even come on and post something on Facebook. Christians don't even come in and defend what I've done or said. Christians don't even come in. They're afraid somebody's going to think something badly about them.
And I noticed that completely too. That was shocking that I think the vast majority of people would be with us, but the vileness of this percentage, the smaller percent, it was just unbelievable. Cindy and I sat here and we read through them thinking, How can people, one, talk like this? And I'm not born yesterday.
Not have any decency to publicly to talk, use that kind of language, right?
And I think of, like I said, it was shocking. And
well, guys, look, how else do you think the devil's people are going to talk? How are they going to talk? Are they going to talk nice? Are they going to be sweet and tender?
Well,
wrong expectations of these.
Where's the salt, Chad? Where's the salt? I don't mind sinners acting like sinners. Where's the salt?
Yeah, that would be good. That would maybe.
What I'm saying is, we can't be surprised on how the other side's going to act because they're godless.
Chad. Amen, Chad. In fact, they're supposed to act the way they are.
Coach, if I may.
Let me finish my comments, but I don't disagree with that. The other thing, Dave, I wanted to mention quickly is I love the teaching on covetousness that we had a couple of days ago.
Right.
You know, the idea of telling your kid to share everything. What about telling the other person don't covet? I thought that was great teaching, and we get that from the huddle. I'm thankful for that.
Thanks. You know, I remember when I first heard the word paradigm, I didn't even know what it meant. And for those of you who don't understand, Jared, maybe you can look that up. Let's go to, I bet that word's not even in Webster's. Now that I mention that, I bet it's not even in there. P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M, paradigm. I bet it's not even in Webster's. Jared's looking for it. When I first heard the word, I played, it is good. I played stupid like I knew what it was and I didn't. Paradigm is an example, a model. In grammar, an example of a verb conjugated in the several modes, tense and persons. But a paradigm today, folks, is a framework of belief. That's a paradigm. It's the perspective from which you are seeing things. And one of the things that's really happened to some of my dear, dear Christian friends, and I say that not tongue in cheek, I really, 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 really mean it. I really mean it. Is they cannot come out of their Christian paradigm. They are trapped in a box of somewhere along the line, someone has programmed them that this is how Christians behave. This is what Christianity looks like. And this is what Christianity is about. And it is a very, very tight, very, very small paradigm. For instance, I remember a situation hasn't been too long ago. In fact, I got in a little bit of a debate about it, a little bit of, I know where it was. I was in Wisconsin at Rob Hughes' great event up at the Wisconsin Christian News. And I got up in front of the crowd and it was my opportunity to speak. And I said, folks, listen, sometimes the Bible is not enough. And I began to explain to them how you have to win this secular argument first. And I thought I made a fabulous presentation. And I went back to my table and immediately had about four people who were friends. Boy, did they take me on the task for saying that sometimes the word of God is not enough. I'm going to tell you something, my friends. I just witnessed it. I just know this. Not that the word of God doesn't have impact or it doesn't have effect, but I can tell you sometimes standing out in front of an abortion clinic, let's use that as an example, and reading from the Bible has zero impact on the people that are going in there. Now, it may impact them later on. I'm not, got to be careful how I say it because I'll be stepping on some sacred cows here and I don't want to.
Hey, Coach.
Point I try to make is sometimes you have to win the secular argument simply with truth. See, every time you speak truth, that is scripture. No, it's not scripture. You understand what I'm saying? Every time I speak truth, it is Christ. Christ is truth. So sometimes you have to speak truth without mentioning who it is that you're talking about and where that reference came from. That was the point I was making. And we are stuck in a paradigm box. Many of my friends are stuck in a paradigm box when all they can do is open up the Bible and read from it. That's all they do. Come on in, Larry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, Jesus spent quite a bit of time teaching his disciples about that situation because he made it very, very, very clear that scripture, the word of God, the words that we have recorded in what's been passed down to us called the Bible, that word is so precious we're to be careful where to put it, not just throw it out there everywhere, because if we throw it out there where it is not been prepared for it to be received, we are wasting it. We are casting our pearls before swine. We're giving that which is holy to the dogs. We've got to stop thinking that those words on black and white on the paper in the Bible are magic. They're not. Those words are precious is what they are. And we're to be careful and let the Holy Spirit tell us where to spread them instead of wasting the time and effort putting that stuff out there where it's not supposed to be going.
Amen, Larry. And I'm getting I believe the video that I made, I'm making an example now, stay with me. The video that I produced at when I went to Hillary Clinton's house has had unbelievable impact. I'm getting a lot of emails. It's really, really impacted people. And if you would go look at that video and you take that, it's about 19 minutes long, and you dissect that video, folks, I don't think I used scripture not one time. Not one time. I don't think I did. Yet the truth, I believe the video, the truth came through. I'm getting feed. There you go. The truth came through. The truth. Sometimes there is truth. Truth is truth. It's not just truth in the Bible. Truth is truth. And that's what I'm saying. That's the paradigm. That's the paradigm box that we see. I could have stood right there. Jared's got me on the screen right there. I could have just been reading from the Bible and just declaring the word of God at Hillary. I mean, I could have done that, but I just don't know what the effectiveness of that would be. And so I produced this video without the word of God being mentioned at all. I got it on my head. But other than that, I'm just a guy out there speaking truth, and truth resonates with people. It doesn't have to be the Bible to be truth. Yes, come on in.
You know, Coach, but we've been taught that the truth, that everything has to revolve within the four walls of a church. See, that's been part of the psyche of the American church for many years. And that's just not true. That's just what you're saying is right. We have to get out of that paradigm and get out into reality and be practical.
That's right. Because George, we can't beat the enemy if we just stay in the church. If we never stand up and confront him, we can't beat him hiding in the church. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, this is Joseph in South Carolina.
Hey, Joseph.
I want everybody to pray for Carol and I and Steve going to abortion clinic again today. And he does it 6 days a week. Hmm. And we're averaging around 19 lost babies every day.
It's amazing, isn't it? Joseph, you got to go see it to believe it. In fact, that prompts me to – Mike Heath, come on in. Jared, maybe you can – Jared, I have a real quick thing in the link here from your dad, a video of him at the abortion clinic. Pull that up a minute, and then I want to dialogue with him, Mike. I want to ask you something. Paradigm. Now, I'm feeling bad already because I said we can talk about whatever you want to. Now I'm trying to steer it away, but I think this is important. Mike Heath made this video. Now, so those of you who understand, I can tell you this. Well, I'll let Mike tell you here in a minute. But 15 or 20 years ago when I met Mike Heath, I got to believe this is the last thing you would ever found him doing. Even though he was leader of the Christian Civic League of Maine, the well-respected Christian. I don't know if you'd have seen Mike doing this 15, 20 years ago. Go ahead and play this real quick, Jared. It's Mike and Polly at the abortion clinic.
All right, folks, here I am with the love of my life doing something I can't wait to stop doing, but at the same time am so blessed to do, and that is to speak to the public about why abortion needs to be rightfully thought of as murder, baby murder, and why it needs to be ended. And that's my wife, Polly, 37 years, and she's on the other corner. And we'll go over there and talk to her. She loves to preach. And so if you see this in the archive after I share it, then please share it with all your friends, especially in North Carolina, because we want to connect with them and see if we can't fill this street with people. Abortion's going to end when the church decides it's going to end. And so, yeah, this is the love of my life, Polly. I've heard you shouting from down there where the folks are praying.
End abortion now! Fight to end abortion! Yes. Getting some thumbs up and some fingers up.
Yeah, some one-finger salutes. Those help.
End abortion now! This is what it looks like. 21 weeks old. That's what they do to little babies in the womb. It's evil. Call Governor Cooper.
Governor Cooper? What's up with him?
We have a governor that's pro-murder outside the womb, not just inside the womb. The legislature in North Carolina passed a bill to protect babies that were born alive after a botched abortion, and the governor vetoed that bill. And now we can pray that the Senate and the House will overturn his veto. So we can still have hope for North Carolina. But I'm encouraging people to fight to stop abortion. Save the baby humans. Stop abortion now.
So do you think that Cooper should be impeached?
Yes. He should be in jail for murdering children. Stop abortion now.
You're probably going to get me banned on Facebook for saying something like that.
That's okay. There's life beyond fake book.
Okay, Jeremy, you can stop right there. This goes
God
on.
Bless you guys.
But listen, Mike, again, folks, we're talking about paradigm shifts. Paradigm shifts. Mike, you wouldn't have been caught. Polly, especially, I think, would not have been caught dead doing this 20 years ago. Do you agree?
Oh, not only do I agree, but she's taking a lot of hits. Excuse me. She's taking a lot of hits from very close friends as a result of that video. It's had almost 600 views. That was the first time, I hate to say it, Coach, that I've ever used Facebook Live. And let me just say that everything that we've been talking about up to this point in the show has to do with a sort of modern word called clickbait. The reason that those young people are saying what they're saying, I didn't go to your Facebook. I don't need to go to your Facebook page and read the comment stream. I know what it's full of, right? But it's young people who are enculturated. I'm sorry for the big word there. It's young people who have bought into the whole clickbait idea and on Facebook. And because the culture of Facebook is so left-leaning, because it's so progressive, so to speak, these young people think that that works. They think that's legit, and it's not. And it's all good, Coach, because you are clickbait. You are clickbait. You use social networking. Yeah. You've always you drew me to yourself by knowing this. You realized it early that you're willing to be clickbait online. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing yesterday. And the reason Polly's video got so many hits is because her heart for babies, I mean, is so sincere. This is what I mean, Coach, about we're our own television stations now. We literally are our own television stations, and the only thing stopping us from burying Fox News, which still massages everything to the left, the only reason we're not burying them is because we're afraid. We're afraid to use our Facebook account to tell the
truth. Somebody's going to befriend you, unfriend you, something like that. But Mike, as a guy who was, we're talking about a paradigm shift here now. What caused the paradigm shift? Because Tony Perkins, if he watches this today, watches your video today, he's going to be shaking his head saying, what happened to Mike? What happened to Mike? Right?
He's going to straighten his tie and, you know, make sure every little hair is in the perfect place because he's the lobbyist who has the mental space to analyze everything six ways to Sunday. And he's going to be able to look at me not being with the perfect tone and style, and I'm going to turn off whatever. You know the drill. We all know the drill.
Hey, Mike, I shake my head a long time ago because I know Tony Perkins from Baker, Louisiana, and I shake my head and say, what happened to him a long, long time ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, he destroyed Maine almost single-handedly. He took Christianity out of the politics in Maine. We were making great progress.
They came and undermined our personhood bill in Louisiana. Louisiana Right to Life, Louisiana Family Forum.
talk about a guy who ought to be in jail. Pauly said that the governor down here in North Carolina, Perkins, has a tremendous influence over Christianity in the United States. And that guy needs to be fired. And as far as I'm concerned, yeah.
See, listen, simple question. Mike, you were in those boardrooms, right? What were those guys in those boardrooms, the Tony Perkinses and the James Dobsons? And you can run the list down. You don't have to. What would they be thinking about a guy like me?
Well, they, like I said, they analyze you six ways to Sunday. You know, you're wearing that baseball cap, and you know, you run around with a billboard cross on your head, on your forehead. I mean, you're just weird, Coach. You're weird. Yeah,
I'm just turning people off. Really, what I'm doing, right, Mike? See, folks, that's a paradigm. It's the same thing. It's a false paradigm of politeness, of propriety within our churches. That's really what it is. We don't get down and dirty anymore. We don't scrape our elbows and our knees. We don't contend and we don't fight because it's not proper within the paradigm, that the box that they have placed all of us in. And that's the greatest battle. I've been saying ever since I got into this thing, the greatest battle we fight is the battle of containment. Containment, folks. Somebody's going to try to keep you locked in a box. And your greatest battle, if you want to be effective, is to figure out how the heck you can get out of that box. It's difficult. It's difficult. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, when my preacher goes up in South Carolina and Columbia for personhood, he's dressed to the T, and they think he's a religious nut.
it's the message, I suppose, isn't it? It doesn't always matter. Somebody else, come on in. You can talk about this or throw something else out there. We really haven't done this in a while.
Well, Coach, I want to say, you know, and I do listen to other channels just to gather more information. What I do appreciate is that when you say open mic or open line Friday, unlike Rush Limbaugh, you actually allow people to come in and engage in the conversation. And it is a great pollinization of information that goes back and forth. But I believe it also has given a platform. When I look at Chad, when I look at Mark Trump, and I look at a lot of these people, by you giving them an opportunity to have a voice to express their frustrations or ideas, it actually encourages them to actually do something. A lot of people, they just have a fear of doing something because they've never opened their mouth and said anything. And so when you open up the mics and let these people speak, it actually encourages them and it actually strengthens them. Mm-hmm. And I go back to that packet of salt you had at the beginning. That salt inside the salt shaker does nothing and no good. But once it's open to just pour it out on the ground, brother, that's self-will. That does no purpose. When it's poured out, when you pour out salt, you pour it out on something for a purpose to alter it. And we're to be poured out by God to touch meat or to touch a French fry, to alter that which we come in contact with. And lastly, I do agree. I hear your heart. Yes, the Bible is infallible. But even Jesus, when he spoke in parables, sometimes to hide things, but to sometimes to get people to just begin to think for themselves. And that's what you do also.
Thanks, Dale. I've got to tell you, some of the greatest gospel conversations I've ever had did not begin as a gospel conversation. It began as a cultural conversation. And then when you start the cultural conversation without the Bible, and you're confident in your beliefs and why you believe, you're not afraid then to argue with the secularists. Because remember this, the secularists' argument is based on lies. And it doesn't take very long to unpack the lies. It just doesn't. And so there all of a sudden you're standing, and the guy that you're arguing with has had his pants pulled down, and he's exposed. And now you bring in the salt. Now you just bring it in and say, well, let me tell you why I believe, and here's why I believe it. I stand on something that is universal and eternal. You're just going with your whims. But if I come in all of a sudden and start right away into the Jesus thing, I'm tell you, it doesn't work. Somebody else, Jerry, let's get this up here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
On there, this is Mitch.
Hey, hang on there, Mitch. Hey. Jared, get that one that says Mayor Pete. Get that one ready for us. Go ahead. Come on in. Go ahead.
You ready?
Yes.
Hey, listen, I'm down here on the Ohio River. I'm not that far away from you. I've never I've watched your show quite a few times. I signed a petition the other day. It's hard to snap the American mind. I live in a small town over here, and I go up here. I go up here to try to show them where all these chemtrails are at all the time, and they think I'm crazy. They think I'm crazy. And I mean, that's just one thing on it. And then I went to church all the time years ago, and I can't stand to go back in there. It's the same sermon every time you go in there. They sit there and preach three or four sermons in the Bible. I'm not saying the sermons aren't any good, but they don't go anywhere.
Right.
And
they don't call you to do anything.
No. And they sit there and give you three or four sermons, and they want you to think that that's enough for your salvation and everything, and you don't need to do anything in life to change anything. And my wife's family, I've been married for 42 years. I'm 62 years old. And we went to Easter Sunday over at my wife's family's house the other day, and I sit there and they're good Christian people. They're solid Christian people, but I sit there and try to talk to them, and you can't snap at their mind. They refuse for their mind to snap.
That's right. They're in a box, aren't they?
And I'll not try to stay on here too long. I'm gonna try to read this and not get it wrong. I got it off of a different website, because if a man is born into ignorance, to parents that are ignorant, in a society that is ignorant, lives a life of ignorance, and eventually dies in ignorance, well, then ignorance is normal. So indoctrination can be called education. Hypnotism can be called entertainment. Criminals can be called leaders. And lies can be called truth, because his mind was never truly his own.
Wow. Wow. That's what it tells us. Go ahead.
I'm with you when it's time we've done something. We got to stand up. We're going to lose our country.
We're going to lose it.
We're going to lose it. And it's going to be our own fault if we do lose it. It's our fault if we lose it.
It's our fault. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think, renewing of your mind. And the church is in such a box. We're so stuck in neutral. And
hey, Coach.
Nobody wants to move. Nobody wants to do anything. Nobody. Listen, they don't even know that they need to. That's the sad part. They don't even need. You're so true. You look up in the skies and see the chemtrails. I look up in the sky and see them. I'm out with somebody else and say, what do you see up there? And they don't see anything. It's like, are you kidding me? That's where we are. Yeah, Vic.
I'm going to go out there and free the slaves. I'm going to go ahead and cut chains, and I'm going to ask them one question. What about equal justice?
What about equal justice? Yes, sir. Equal justice. That's, again, remember, now listen, remember, this, that ain't the Bible, is it? That's not fighting with the Bible. But it's a truth, see? Truth. We fight with truth. Sometimes we use the Bible. The Bible is the foundation of the truth. But we fight with truth. And not all truth has to be word for word. That's God's word right out of the Bible. Well, that's all well and good. Let's watch this real quick. I want you to notice something before I play it. This is this new guy, Mayor Pete, who's running for president of the United States. He's 35 years old. He's a homo. He made his announcement by kissing his husband on the podium. And he is, you know why he is so popular? I want you to listen to them. And I want you to listen in Mayor Pete's, it's about a minute and a half. I want you to listen to the humanism coming out of Mayor Pete, masquerading as the Bible. Because people don't know the Bible, Mayor Pete can give them humanism clothed in the Bible, and people swallow it up. This is the great deception that we're seeing. This is what, this, this, you'll hear this You'll hear this in some churches. Some pastors are preaching the same malarkey from Mayor Pete. I don't even know the guy. Something wrong. Listen, folks, he's 35 years old and he's a mayor. We're talking about him being president of the United States. And so it's comical. What would the deep state do to him, I wonder? Okay, this is a minute and a half. And listen, here is the humanistic version of the gospel. Go ahead.
People talk about things like marriage equality.
Whoa. Come on back, Pete. Hang on, Jared. Freeze it a second. Again, folks, here's the cue. I want to say this so we don't miss it as Jared gets it queued back up there. Watch how his entire message is self-focused. Entirely self, okay? Self, 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 self. There it is. Listen to it. Okay, Jared. Technical issues, folks. Deal with this here. We'll get her going. Jared's the best tech in the world. He'll figure this thing out here. I found this on, what is it? Doesn't matter. Gateway Pundit, something like that. I don't know where it was.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Vic.
You saw that Richard Grenell, the ambassador to Germany, was kind of laying into Pete Buttigieg. And it's funny. He's gay, too, or homosexual.
How do these guys get in power? It's amazing. It's a great deception. It's a great, okay, Jared's got him up there again. Okay, here it is, the humanistic gospel from Mayor Pete Buttrigger or something like that. Something like that.
People talk about things like marriage equality as a moral issue. And it is certainly a moral issue as far as I'm concerned. It's a moral issue because being married to Chasten has made me a better human being. Because it has made me more compassionate.
Me.
More understanding.
What in the heck? There we go.
More self-aware.
Me.
And more decent.
Me.
My marriage to Chasten has made me a better man.
Me.
And yes, me. Mr. Vice President, it has moved me closer to God.
Me. Good job, man.
You may be religious and you may not, but if you are, and you are also queer, and you have come through the other side of a period of wishing that you weren't, then you know that that message, that this idea that there is something wrong with you, is a message that puts you at war not only with yourself but with your maker.
Me.
Speaking only for myself.
Me.
I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice,
me,
it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade.
Oh, good line, dude. So where'd you get that one?
And that's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand. That if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator.
There is, Mr. Mayor Butt Sex for you. So do you see it, folks? Do you see the humanistic gospel? And the average person listening to that is saying, yeah, boy, he is right. Yeah. Why, it's drawn him closer to God. Which God?
He don't read the Bible.
Which God's he being drawn closer to? Because, see, the person going to church, they're not hearing the truth. And so they can't recognize a falsehood, right? So what's going on? Come on in, somebody.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I think this is a divine appointment, not for Pete, but for a man named E. Michael Jones, because Jones has started to become quite a phenomenon online a couple years ago as a result of YouTube, the platform YouTube. If you go to YouTube and just search for E. Michael Jones, you'll get all kinds of fairly lengthy interviews. And I think what's going to happen because of Pete's candidacy is millions of people are going to be exposed to Jones. And here's why. Jones literally lives four doors down from Pete, from where Pete grew up. Pete's dad was a Marxist college professor.
Wow.
And E. Michael Jones literally grew up, well, Pete grew up with E. Michael Jones's kids, and they actually, they went to Harvard together. So Jones has this very personal connection to Pete's family, and it's already he's written about it. It's already starting to raise awareness. Jones has done incredible thinking about the issue of homosexuality in the West and why it is so potent. And so I think Pete's not going to be president, but he's giving Michael Jones an opportunity to explain what's going on.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome if people step forward and take that opportunity. Think about it. 35 years old, folks, to show you again, the devil has a plan, and the devil's team is so organized. How does a 35-year-old mayor of South Bend, Catholic South Bend, how does a guy like that get national attention? To be seriously, they said Donald Trump wasn't qualified to be president.
Yes. Right, they said that, but Donald Trump could probably have the garbage picked up the right way instead of getting trucks that don't fit.
Donald Trump knows what to do in the bedroom. This Mayor Buttsex doesn't even understand that.
Right, exactly. The anus is not a sex organ.
I would like to show our multi-dimensional huddle if I could.
Sure.
The Reds have started off very slow, and it's disappointing. Thank you.
Hey, Coach, this is
right at the cutting edge of societal evolution. Yeah, Vic.
This is the new offering of rest in peace, John F. Kennedy, Catholic, 35 years old, but now with a little spin, he's homosexexual.
Yeah, very good point, Vic. And by the way, I want to thank the people who send me emails saying I'm not being very Christian towards Mayor Buttplug.
What was this? What is this? What you called getting into the White House through the back door?
Yeah. You get what I'm saying, right?
Hey, Coach, I got a request.
He is destroying the gospel, folks. He's an enemy of the cross. Yeah, Mark.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to skip subjects, but we need to pray for Margo, which is Dr. Rich's daughter. She had a relapse yesterday. And she's got today and tomorrow. She'll be at Russ's tomorrow, but things are pretty rough. They come and go. It's a lot of history, but keep her in your prayers. And let's just hope she has a good weekend and has some deliverance from issues. Okay?
Dr. Rich is the guy we met. A lot of people don't even know who we're talking about, Mark. Mm-hmm. Dr. Rich was a presenter at our last event on natural health issues and it's different things like that, and has a daughter who's really, really struggling with some, we think they're demonic issues, not sure exactly what they are. And Mark is working behind the scenes with Dr. Rich and his daughter Margo, who are connected with Russ Dizdar, and is going to try to get some help this weekend. So, Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that the steps of a righteous man and woman ordered by the Lord delight in our way. Father, we just thank you for ordering her steps to Russ. And Lord, we just pray that you'll do all things well in that meeting. Nevertheless, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thanks, Coach. Thanks, sure. Everyone.
Sure. Come on in here. We got 11 minutes. I got some stuff.
I want to come
Chad,
back.
You got a thing coming up this weekend, don't you, Chad?
Yes, we're having our Assault Line Brigade meeting Friday night, kicking off at 7 p.m. and going through all through weekend. So, love to have anybody that wants to show up.
All right, buddy. What are we going to say?
Okay, well, I wanted to come back to that packet of salt.
Yes.
I want to come back to that. And I want to tie that in to you going to see Hillary. See? If you don't, you have to think about the packet of salt, or you can think about it however you want to. I recommend you think of the packet of salt as God's blessing.
Hmm.
And if you don't go and act upon it, you're never going to be able to open that package to receive his salt, to receive the blessing there. If he calls on you, it's not always going to be fun.
Amen.
If he calls on you and gives you a mission think about Saul, how blessed he was. And then when he went his own way, he defied God there, and he went his own way, and he didn't listen to instruction. He no longer was blessed. You're not going to be blessed if you go your own way. You're not going to be blessed if you go your own way. Because he don't need you. He'll put somebody else in there.
That's right. He'll find somebody to do it. I want everyone to know this. I jumped on my lawnmower yesterday because I knew it was going to rain today. When I get up, it is raining. So I thought, man, I got a busy weekend. If I don't mow yesterday, if I don't get it done. So anyway, I can't tell you, folks, the vile things that come to me over my, I can't even tell you. I could do a whole show reading comments that people sent to me. But I want you to know that, I love mowing my grass because it's just you and the buzz, right? I can't hear anything else. It's just you and the buzz and the Lord. And I want you to know something. I yesterday on that lawnmower, after having read all those things that I've read, taking the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, I had such a joy in my heart. I just can't even explain it. What's that old song? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And I had such unbelievable joy and peace because you know why? I knew I had done what he asked me to do. I had great peace. And I hadn't had peace for a few days because I knew I had something I was supposed to do and I didn't want to do it. Oh, I wanted to do it. But I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, do I want to do that? Do I want to be called those names? Do I want to see poor Michelle have to be burdened by it and the phone calls? And do I really want to do that? Oh, Lord, are they gonna bring this up? And they go, I don't really. Can't you find someone else to do it? And yesterday on my lawnmower, man, I've been unburdened, man. Jesus said, blessed are you. Jared, pull that up, Matthew 5. I don't know why Christians have such a hard time understanding this. I do not understand. You want to be blessed? I don't understand why people have such a hard time. It's that daggone dissonance. We don't get it. Jared, scroll on down to about 13 or 14, maybe it is.
11.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, hey, Jared, go back up because everybody else wants to stay. Everybody wants to stay on these blessed, right? On the Beatitudes, blessed are they's. They like to camp on the blessed are they's. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure. They love to camp on all those. They form a paradigm of Christianity around those right there. The Beatitudes, they call them. But folks, again, there is no chapter break. This is the same sermon. And then look what he does. He does the most unbelievable thing. Jesus goes, when he's talking to everyone, he goes from speaking about nameless people, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the merciful, to all of a sudden, he makes it personal. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Same Sermon on the Mount, then verse 11. Blessed are you. He now personalizes it. Blessed are you. That my ears perked up. It's like all of a sudden he's talking about all these other people. Yeah, and I'm listening. He says, hey, and blessed are you, coach, this one's for you. That's what he did right there, folks. Blessed are you. Hey, George. Blessed is George. When men revile George. Persecute George and say all men are evil against George falsely for my sake. George, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Folks, do you see this? Why do we flee persecution when the Lord said it's a blessing? Oh, my goodness. There's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. What does that mean? It tells me this, that the Lord's keeping score. And then when I get persecuted for his sake, not my sake, for his sake, he's making a notch on the wall of blessings waiting for me. Now, I don't know how you can read the Beatitudes and miss that. Because to me, that is the heart of the entire Sermon on the Mount. When he goes from all these other people, blessed are the theys, and blessed are the thems, to blessed are you. Do you guys see that? Do you see that very pointed change of pronouns from they to you? Come on in, man. That was an invitation.
Hey, Coach, let me also say this. The Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, 6, and 7. So brother, it goes on. It's not some three chapters.
It's not just those 6 verses where everybody's blessed? It's not just that? No, it isn't just that, is it? No. Again, folks, paradigm boxes. Try to stick you in boxes. That's what they want to do. And if we want to really, really be salt of the earth, there will be a lot of people. Are you following the logic here? He says, "Blessed, rejoice, be exceedingly glad." Verse 12, "For great is your reward in heaven." What? Great is my reward where? And then look, he goes right into you are the salt of the earth. He's warning you. Listen, they're going to hate you, but it's okay because you're the salt of the earth. And I got blessings beyond what you can ever imagine and great rewards for you in heaven.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
The guy yesterday, you're talking about, just the secular. I do that a lot with guys. All you got to do is start talking about what's going on in our society, in your own hometown, with just evil, just everything. This guy's in there to buy a car yesterday. They're looking at a car. So I started, we got on that subject of just evil, every different subjects. To find out, it was really cool. And we ended up with some salt at the end of it. This guy says, what church do you go to? I knew he knew. And I told him, my dad used to hang out with Coach Dave. It was Dave Ford's son. He's a pastor now. And we got talking. He had his son with him. So we got chatting. He pulled your book off the shelf. He said, my wife or his mom, whoever was, helped Coach edit this book. And he had your book. He pulled your cards out. I still got them cards in the window of the Salt Light Brigade. So he took one of them. He said, I'm going to have to pull up the show. Now, I don't know if he's on this morning or when he's going to be, but... So his church now down there, he's a pastor. He's going to that Prairie Chapel, 300 people. He said, now it's grown. So I've convinced, I said, you know what? Why don't you guys team up with us? As Christian soldiers, come together with some of these things we're doing. So he's going to come back here in the next couple, I think today.
Amen.
We had a good conversation.
Great job, Jeff. Great job.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, folks, our trouble is, it's not as Chad so eloquently. Well, Chad, you weren't that eloquently. The problem's not the sinners. The problem's not the lost folk. The problem's us folk. We won't get the salt out of the shaker. We won't open up the bag. We won't pass the salt. We won't open our mouth and speak the truth because we're worried. We won't go on Facebook and defend the faith for fear that somebody is going to be offended. Well, when you run across those kind of people, you refer them to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and following, and understand that there's great, great reward for standing up for the truth and speaking the truth, especially to a group of people that don't hear it. I thank God for my hour on my mower yesterday and the peace in my heart that I have. That what he asked me to do, I did. You can have that too. God bless you. See you tomorrow.